friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Baseball going strong. League Championship Series entertaining. Certainly an entertaining season for our baseball team. And Stephen Vogt was right there at the whole point of the whole thing. I thought it was interesting. Austin Hedges yesterday, doing multiple victory laps. And I say that with nothing but congratulations, Austin. Multiple victory laps about getting a $4 million contract for being a great guy, great defensive catcher, and hitting 161 or whatever it was, said, Voter called me into his office in mid-August, basically. And he said he kind of noticed something about me, and he said, hey, you know, you don't look like you're all here, and I'm really paraphrasing, and said, you know, you don't look like you're ready to go today, and you're not all here. And Hedges said something like, yeah, well, you know, I'm whatever. And Voter said, this is when I need you to be a leader. I don't care if you're not hitting right. Go out there and lead. And Hedges said, and that's when we started to get hot. And I thought, a nice little managerial thing, calling in a, you know, and Voter was a catcher, right?
Sure.
So he calls in the catcher who can't hit. I say that, and I just say that as a fact, but needs him to help get things going. Good managerial move. It worked. And then they got hot and everything went. Right now, it looks like, and if I'm not mistaken, 10 managerial openings in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
And I'm checking a story that's, there are a couple of stories that have been written about it. But 10 managerial openings. Rockies, Orioles, Padres now have an opening. Giants. I mean, there's a lot of teams looking for a manager. John Heyman, who's been on our show, MLB Insider, wrote a story in the New York Post. And here's one line from his story. Some teams would love to see if they can pry Stephen Vogt from Cleveland.
Hmm.
But that rarely works. How's that strike you?
If I'm the front office, I'm locking him down for a pretty good contract here. I know that there's people looking at him.
He's under contract for next year. It's the final year of the three-year contract that he signed when he came to the team. If you're wondering how the guys feel about him, this was from the Players Tribune, Stephen Kwan, a couple of years ago, on Vogt. Can't say enough about Stephen Vogt. Incredibly solid dude. He absolutely gets it. He understands what it's like to be a player, how to lead, how to inspire. In other words, these guys seem to like this guy. In other words, he's been here 2 years. They've gone to the playoffs twice, and he did it with teams that can't hit.
True.
In other words, he's doing just fine.
Actually, I would say he's doing great.
I would think you're more accurate than I am. If I am the front office, and our buddy Hoynsey wrote a story about this earlier in the week, if I'm the front office, man, I'm locking that guy up. And I am at least giving him a 2-year contract extension. It looks like they have a guy who knows what he's doing and players respond to. And it also looks like he knows what it takes to manage here. And you know what I mean by that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and that's a big deal.
And you're juggling the analytics of the front office.
That's right.
And what the front office
wants. That's part of what I'm talking about.
And what the front office expects and what they're going to tell you you're doing. Let's face it, almost every manager in baseball now is told by the front office what to do in many situations. I think until the game actually starts, you know, I think that the lineup and things like that are in the hands of the front office more so than they are the manager, which is a total game change from the way it was when we were younger.
It might not be a bad thing. Well, let's be honest. If you have one guy who's sitting back and making decisions and saying, yeah, you know, I think Baskin's got a good chance against this guy today. I just got a hunch. Or you can look at all the data that says Baskin does have a good chance against this guy or whatever. I don't mind that, and because the manager is still the guy doing the in-game stuff, and so I understand all that. Hoynsey wrote a story the other day about, and this sums it up, He says nothing's been announced, but it's certain that the Guardians are in the process of extending manager Steven Vogt's contract. If you're Steven, are you game to stay?
I think so.
Only 30 of those gigs, but like a third of them are open right now.
I think on the second contract, a manager who has players who are loyal to him probably would be loyal to the front office. I would probably want some security past the changing point in ownership if that happens. If I was Steven Vogt, I'd want a little security going into at least the first year. If they decide to make the change with ownership.
In other words, you want it guaranteed?
Yeah, I want that guaranteed. I want that next year.
You want an out clause?
Probably. I don't know. I mean, obviously,
I'd ask
the
for
Guardians
this.
gave him an unbelievable opportunity to become a manager in Major League Baseball with zero experience.
Well, managing experience. He'd been, a bench coach in Seattle for a year.
Zero, I think it was. Zero experience as a manager.
Yeah, but Andy,
I mean, compared to other guys, Jeff, I mean, zero experience. And by the way, turned out to be the right call. We're looking at a guy just called great 2 minutes ago.
It's strange, though, because...
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
As you're seeing, I think you see enough of that in baseball that it's weird. You know, you see broadcasters becoming Aaron Boone. You see guys just stepping into the managerial job and getting it done. Guys who really pay their dues and work their way up. You know, for instance, the combination that Mike Hargrove brought to the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike with a long-time playing career and then went into the minors and worked his way up through the Indian system to become a major league manager, league coach, and then a major league manager. You don't see that all the time anymore. You certainly still do see it. If I'm the Guardians, there's no question I'm trying to sign Steven Vogt. He's under contract for next year, final year of his deal. I wouldn't let him get to spring training before I did all I could to extend him.
Knowing the Guardians front and knowing the Dolans, right? Like that seems to me like a spring training announcement, doesn't it? That seems like something they would announce at spring training.
Or winter meetings announcement?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I could see it happening sooner rather than later, actually. If I'm Steven Vogt and I like it here, I would ask for these outs only. I would want the guarantee, Andy, going into the new ownership if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But if I like working for these guys, I would want a Chris Antonetti out. If Chris leaves, I have an out.
Still 1-30. I don't know if you're going to get that, but that's the same as... That's the same as a new ownership out. Antony's not going anywhere while the Dolans are here, unless he wants to leave.
Well, you wouldn't think so, but you never know.
Unless he wants to leave.
Mark Shapiro did.
Yeah, I think Mark felt like he kind of ran his course here. He did what he wanted to do.
Well, maybe Chris feels that one day, too. That's why, if I'm in vote, that's why I ask for that.
But Mark also wanted to learn the business side of things, too. I mean, Mark knew the business side, but he did more than just baseball. And he handed things over to Chris on the baseball side for the most part. And I'm sure it wasn't easy for him to make decisions. And I remember right in the beginning when Chris took over and he was making decisions and making trades and sitting around going, man, did I make the right move? These guys are human. I think we forget about that a lot of the time. And so I'm locking up Vogt if I can right now. If I'm Vogt, I want to make sure that I've got some security in case there's an ownership change. And, a Blitzer Caller group comes in here and wants to make changes right away. I don't know that they would. I'm trying to think with Blitzer's other teams, how many times he's done that. Did he do it in Philly? Has he done it with Real Salt Lake? Isn't that the team he has? The MLS team? I don't know. He's got other teams out there too. And you might want to look at his history in that situation. And I'm sure that, Caller, who's here, has taken a look at what he's got. And he's seen that this team has produced some great results. They haven't won the whole thing, but they produce great results on a different kind of budget than the rest of the NFL or NHL. Major League Baseball's running, man. Is there a league? I forgot their NBA. The way the rest of Major League Baseball is running.
So. You know, the The job of a major league manager, I don't know that it's evolved, but maybe it has. Mike Schilt just announced his retirement in San Diego. And if you do a little digging on that, you'll see, well, why is he retiring? He says, I don't want to deal with the hassle anymore. But the hassle seems to be that he was a pain in the you-know-what to deal with, almost got into a fist fight with his coaches, and it was he was a his-way-or-the-highway type of manager. And he had issues in St. Louis with the same type of thing. That type of guy doesn't thrive in Major League Baseball these days, I don't think. And a guy like Vogt, and I don't mean that, I don't mean wishy-washy, I mean a complete mediator. Okay, I'll take everything from the front office. I'll take everything from the players. I'll be the guy. It all meets with me. I'll handle it. I'll put everybody on the same page. I'll make everybody reasonably happy. You're not going to make everybody happy, but if you keep everybody informed, you communicate, you're honest, you're fair, that to me is a great recipe for success as a major league manager these days, and he seems to have it, and that's I would definitely wrap him up. And if you got to pay him a little bit, good, you pay him a little bit. It's obviously a nice place to manage, Andy, if you can deal with the way it's set up.
And yeah, like I think Tito towards the end was kind of like, okay, I got to worry about my health, which is really the priority, but maybe things went, maybe they went sideways a little bit for him too.
When you have options, you can probably run it, something can run its course.
But
that was fun, I mean, I've had enough.
They needed to, when he came in, the organizational structure was perfect for him to come here after he had been to Boston. Dan, what in a trade, what would they get for Stephen Vogt? You know what I'm saying? If somebody wanted to trade for Vogt.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work either.
I don't remember the last manager trade. I don't remember the last time someone traded for a manager.
I can't remember either.
I mean, football, the Sean Payton one is the one that popped in my head. I think that was that a second rounder? I think they traded for Sean Payton? It's like a second or third rounder.
I would think that they're not going to trade him. They're just going to sign him.
Do the council, wait till his contract expires, and then do some back alley dealings?
Which is
the
okay.
The way that the Cubbies did for council? Yeah.
I get the feeling, and it's just a feeling, no real education behind this other than just paying attention to stuff. I would think that Vogt's really happy here and signs at least two more years so that he walks into spring training with a three-year deal.
Makes sense. I mean, it just makes sense. If I'm him, I'm looking for a little security past what could be an ownership change. It's not necessarily going to happen, but the option will be there for Blitzer and Colley if they want to take over their, if they want to get to 51% of owning the team. It's on the table for them. So
there are some things happening. One thing that shouldn't happen is you shouldn't be looking for a new manager. And hopefully they get that taken care of very, very quickly. And they move forward with Stephen Vogt. I'd like that.
Mm-hmm. Were you expecting a lawsuit yesterday about NIL? I mean, every state, we've talked about this for years, that it was just a matter of time. I know you tried to jump ahead of this with the folks who are in the Ohio High School Athletic Association that vote on everything and said, hey, we got to look at what's going on. In the past, they've said, no, let's push it off. Now, where do we sit with NIL?
Yeah, you know, I think you mentioned we did try 3 years ago to get ahead of this. And at the time, about six states did it when we had it up 3 years ago. And right now, over 40 states are doing it. Hmm. And I can share with you that I'm in contact with the directors of these states and have asked several times, anybody having any issues with this? And it's a resounding no. No issues at all. Very few athletes get it. Less than 1% of the athletes in the country are getting a deal, and it hasn't been a problem. And I think, we're not surprised that we did this. And so, you know, I always say this, we're a reflection of our membership, and things that we bring to vote, referendum items that we bring in May come from our membership. As an example, a couple years ago, the move from four to seven divisions in team sports and the increase in soccer to five, that came from our membership. And since this got voted down, not one school has brought it back up. Mm. But we did about a year ago bring it up to our membership in our regional meetings. We go out in the fall and the spring, the six of our districts, and meet with all the administrators. And we started bringing it up to basically to say, hey, this is inevitable. It's not a question of whether you agree with a high school athlete receiving NIL dollars on her name, image, and likeness. but it's coming, and we should shape the narrative. Our school should, and it's either going to happen one of three ways: legislatively, from a court, or our member schools. And so, again, we're not surprised. A lawsuit does, Andy and Jeff, does trigger a opportunity for us to do an emergency vote, which we are prepared to do, and so this is where we're at today.
Doug, when this went through in college, I don't think, you know, the idea was originally anyway, hey, great, kids can go and get some dollars by doing this, that, whatever. It's become just flat out paying players to come to your school. You already answered the big thing that I had. You said 1%, or was, did you say less than 1%? But
less than 1%, yes.
A minuscule number. So how would it play in Ohio high school sports if it were to become a reality?
I think the way it plays for us is we've had very few athletes come to us and even say they even had a deal. You know, we did have Gabe Cupps, who's playing at Ohio State now in basketball in high school, that had that opportunity. And so how this plays out for a high school student athlete is that we want to protect, number one, we want to protect the amateurism of high school sports. And this doesn't mean that our recruiting bylaws and those type of things would go away, because they don't. It would still be illegal to recruit and use NIL funds to recruit an athlete to your school based on our bylaws. And so I think that's the big difference from college or high school, is that in college you can recruit kids with dollars. In high schools you can't. And that's what we want to protect, is that we want to protect the trademarks, the copyrights, the intellectual property of our membership, our member schools, and that's what our language does. If passed by our member schools on this emergency vote, it'll protect those things. I think the best thing to do is, so we've all been to high school basketball games where, you know, the JV halftime, the varsity teams come out and shoot around at halftime, you know, those things. Under our language, you can't profit at an athletic event, wearing your school's athletic gear. Those type of things, that's what pretty much everybody in the country has. And so when you're sitting there and wondering why is that young man out there in a Pepsi shirt or a soda pop shirt, I should say, not just pick at Pepsi, because he has an NIL deal. Well, that's not legal at our events. And so, you know, we really want to protect that. And so I think that's the big difference that you'll see from high school to college, is that the recruiting piece of that. We still have bylaw against the recruiting.
Yeah, Doug, there are two questions. Like, I remember last year, Sonny Johnson, who's at Garfield Heights, whose son Marcus won Mr. Ohio Basketball, he came out and said, look, I'm loyal to where I am right now, and I want my kid to stay here, but I've got other states coming after my kid to go play in another state because they have NIL. Can you take that into consideration for the presentation that you'll have to make here for this vote? Does that make sense? Like, trying to keep our own kids in our own state, you know?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense where you would say, this would eliminate that prep school athlete leaving to go get a high school deal in another state and keep the talent here. But more importantly, you know, it comes down to the fundamental question of, should these kids be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness, or their personal branding rights. So whether you believe it or not, or in it or not, it allows the Marcus Johnson to stay here and receive those dollars here instead of going to Nevada and playing.
How soon do you think you'll have to do the vote? I mean, obviously the lawsuit dropped yesterday, that Lisa, that's what announced. How soon are you hoping to do the emergency vote?
Well, we are in conversation with the attorneys from the family who presented the lawsuit, and it was filed in Franklin County. So the judge who's hearing that in Franklin County, and you know, our police certainly give us 2-3 weeks to put this out. It is not a surprise to us at the OHSA, and it's also not a surprise to our membership. We've been telling them that this is a possibility. It's likely to happen before May rolls around when we're going to put it on as a referendum item. And so the good thing for us is we've been preparing for this kind of ahead of the game a little bit. Mm-hmm. So our language has already been approved by our board. And we're just waiting to see right now on a timeline of the court to allow us to go out for a vote.
And then how important is it that these administrators that are voting in the emergency vote make a decision now rather than letting the courts decide?
Well, again, I think overwhelmingly when we asked that question, and shared, hey, this is inevitable, it's coming, and it's likely to happen this way, just the way it played out. And as a member school, who do you think should control the narrative of the three? And overwhelmingly, our schools felt like, hey, we need to control the narrative. We need to write the policy the way it needs to be to protect our schools and still allow our athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness. So we're ahead of the game a little bit for something like this. And so our membership knows. And it was overwhelming in the room when we would ask that question that the schools, that we should control that narrative.
Hmm. All right. Well, so let me give you one shot. Tell parents why you think it's important that this gets under. I mean, you kind of did just now, but I want to make sure people kind of understand. I think the important part of what you said was less than 1% of high school kids. Like, we already have, as a high school coach in the state, we have delusional parents that think that their kids are going to make millions the second they walk out of their high school. So how important is it, one more time, for the state to get this under control right now while you have the opportunity?
Well, I think it's a lot. Again, so the language does protect us from the recruiting, from the collectives that are set up at the college level. Mm-hmm. We don't feel that's in the best interest of our high school athletics here in Ohio. But we also think, too, that if it's out there, we want to say our member schools aren't negotiating contracts or in charge of an athlete who may get NIL funding at their school, but they need to be aware of it so that we can, as educators in the state of Ohio, as somebody who's, as I say this all the time, our coaches know who needs shoes, pants, food, their kids, and they also know who needs some financial advice. So there's a lot of money that if you get a deal like this and you need to support that family on making sure they understand there's taxes that come along with it, there's insurance that come along with the cars, those type of financial things out there that normal 18-year-olds just don't think about that way, and how to take care of their funds. But again, we want to protect not just our member schools, but we want to protect our athletes from bad things that go on out there with this, and in terms of contracts and what you're obligated to do. And so we'll provide a company that provides education for people with that. And so we want to do it the right way if it's coming in, and it appears it is coming in. Mm.
Doug, thank you so much. We always appreciate your time, and good luck with all the fall sports state championships that you guys are running right now. Then it'll all culminate in Canton when we finish up with football there in a couple weeks.
And you know this, Andy. My car is on that Odyssey app at 92.3. Appreciate you and Jeff and all you do and the folks at your station there for athletics and to promote high school athletics. But I love I'm a loyal listener to you guys, so appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you, Doug.
We
also appreciate you giving us the time so quick, too, especially with everything happening yesterday. Take care, Doug.
Appreciate it, Doug.
Have a good day.
You
thanks,
too.
Guys.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.